Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. 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 Impermeable. Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. I'm the people's champ. Obama. And you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick. Allergic to the con artist. Fake quote. An imposter. Only real ones up in my roster. Like Junior C. That's my
Happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. I can't believe it's Tuesday. It feels weird that it's Tuesday just because yesterday was holiday.
I know.
I really keep thinking it's
feels
Monday.
Like, yeah, it definitely feels like Monday.
Definitely feels like Monday. But it's Tuesday. We got a lot to talk about. A lot always happens in, you know, in between everything. But yeah, there's so much, you know, going on within just everything in general.
Yeah, and you know what, I feel like there's so much going on, but I still don't know about it because I still don't watch the news.
Oh my goodness!
I kind of
backed away from the news just because I was watching it literally every day. I feel like I became addicted to the news once quarantine hit.
Exactly.
And now I'm
As soon as I woke up, I would put it on CNN every day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cause I
me too.
Really, and you know, the only show that I really can watch that makes me feel okay about everything is Trevor Noah. Because he can explain everything with comedy, and I know I say this all the time, but, like, sometimes we literally need comedy to make, you know, to make you feel better about things. Because he can make a joke out of something serious, like, and it's not offensive. It's like, you know. It's real life, but it makes me feel better about stuff to listen to that. I just have not done it because there's just so many things that go on that is a lot. There's a lot going on. Sometimes I, you know, and I always get back into watching the news, but sometimes I like to just pretend like nothing is happening because it's so much. And we're all bombarded with it. And it's what sells. Like, it's what makes people want to watch the news is the bad stuff. Nobody watches things that are like, if we had positive stuff on every day, nobody would watch it, and that's sad. Because I don't know if it's us as human beings. Like most of us, we you know, you watch Love and Hip Hop because of the drama. Like, nobody watches Love and Hip Hop like for the fun of it. People watch Love and Hip Hop and shows like that for the drama. We watch the movie Follow the Shade Room for the drama. Oh, here he goes, the man of the hour.
Hey fam, Hotep, peace. How's it going?
Good. How are
Wonderful.
You? Long time no see.
It's been a
I
long
know, right?
time. Too long.
Oh
too long.
Goodness.
Too long.
I haven't spoken to you in so long. What? It hasn't even been 24 hours yet.
It was about this time yesterday.
That's
exactly. Long time. You know, and that's it's the craziest thing because when the pandemic hit, I think that Memorial Day really was the first day last year in 2020 that we really got to spend some quality time together because everything was so uncertain that it's like, hi, in passing. Like, and that was one of the hardest things, I think, is for families to be away from their families. And it's one, like, we called each other, text each other, saw each other from a distance. But, you know, there's so many people that their families were in nursing homes or in other states and they couldn't see their family. Like, that has got to be difficult. At least we all live within walking distance from each other. I stalk you often, Candace. Every time I look out the window, my eyes just go right there. I'm like, oh, I see them in the backyard.
Oh, my. You and Kristen.
I know. It's terrible. It's Kristen's fault. Like, and it's your fault for the color of the stuff. Like, it's, there's no way that I could miss it. I can't miss it.
That's
but
funny.
I'm just glad that we've come to the point where we can see each other. You know, we can spend some time together.
It's hard.
It's so sad.
You have to be able to socialize. That's amazing.
Right.
You took it for granted.
And I am the type of person, don't hug me. Don't, like, I've been 6 feet, keep your distance for my entire adult life. Like, I'm like, don't hug me. I don't want hugs. Just, I thought that I was an introvert until the pandemic, and then I realized I'm just selective about the energy that I want around me, but I really thought I was an introvert, and I am absolutely not, because I'm like, I miss people.
No.
But only certain people. I don't miss everyone. I only miss certain people. So I think that, you know, we learned a lot about ourselves, I think, during the pandemic.
Oh, 2020.
Right.
Well,
yo, listen,
clear sight.
We always talk about that damn 2020 vision. We still got it.
Mm. That was it. We saw it. We saw everybody for who they were.
For real.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness, did we?
The good, the bad,
did
the
we?
Ugly.
Very, yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Definitely. So,
did some spring cleaning on relationships.
Listen, you didn't find out about your significant other, your friends, your family until, well, for most people, you didn't, even family, because me and Kristen learned a lot about each other, being in the house together all day, every day, me working, him in school. Like, we found out a lot about each other. People didn't find out about their significant others. It's a good thing me and my boo like being around each other, because there's some people that go to work to get away from their significant other, and they can't even go to work to get away from them.
That's
so,
right. It made or broke a lot of relationships.
Right. And now we're at the point where people feel a little bit more comfortable. Yesterday they lifted the curfew in New York. They lifted the dining curfew. There's a lot of places, and I think this is crazy. There's a lot of places that are saying if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask, you know. So it's just a very interesting and political time that we're all living in now.
Yeah, but the thing about it is a lot of people's shots are being expired because a lot of them, I think they're only 6 months long, and a lot of people got it in January. So we got to be careful.
But they're not even talking about that. They're not. But nobody's talking about that. They're just saying if you got the vaccine, then we're all good.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully the fall doesn't tell us something else. Autumn.
Well,
we'll
see
like,
what happens.
Y'all thought y'all knew was good. Right. We'll see what happens because they're not even talking about numbers anymore. Now they're talking about the amount of people that were vaccinated.
It ain't over till we win, brother.
You can't go anywhere, Dad.
You cannot go anywhere. That's funny. We got to teach you how to use the mute button.
Yeah, you can't go anywhere.
Something else.
That is so funny. Did somebody? Can the person still hear you? Can the person still hear us, Dad?
Say that again.
Can the person hear us?
When you say the person who you talk.
The person
no,
you're
not
talking
now. They,
to, can they?
No.
Did
no,
they
in the car.
Yeah.
Did they
recognize you? What?
Yes, they did.
Can't take you
That's
nowhere,
funny.
Sir.
And he started honking his horn, but I didn't want to be too obvious because he wasn't aware that I was on this call. So, but I still wanted to recognize the brother.
No, it's okay. Listen. We go out with you. We know the deal. We know. I just stand back and smile.
That's funny.
Stand back and smile like
That's
a proud
it.
Like a proud mother. Just stand back and smile.
Oh, there we go. There we go. That
family,
is it.
You
it's all
here
good.
Personally, that is what, you know, he's made such a difference in people's lives. They need to stop. I remember when we were in McDonald's, me and you were in McDonald's, and we were ordering something, and the man was in the drive-thru and parked and came inside. It was like, I saw you from the drive-thru. Do you remember that?
Something else. Yeah, I remember.
Oh, man.
I remember.
Oh, man. But you just made sense. You know, because it's... But you're not like, you're not like a rapper or a basketball player, but people still just appreciate the impact that you've made in their life. This man parked his car from the drive-thru. He noticed you from the drive-thru and parked and came just to say hello to you. Like, you just and you're so humble. You're so humble, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I've been in, like when your brother and I were hanging out and we would go different places, we'd go to a Stop and Shop or ShopRite supermarket, and I'm looking for a spaghetti sauce. And Haru will slide up on me and say, hey, man, you know, these people over there are looking at you. And I'm not even focused because I'm so busy trying to look for spaghetti sauce. But you see, this
Imagine.
Is the key. The key is that I'm, you know, I am, you know, folk know that you can go on YouTube. You see me talking on 125th Street.
Right, exactly.
It was Hidden Colors that changed things.
Yep,
it was. Hidden Colors changed things. It brought me front and center to the community.
It was Hidden Colors, and Worldstar, because your face was the icon on Worldstar. When Worldstar was really big, like, it was your face as the icon for Hidden Colors on Worldstar that really, like people really started to know who you were.
Yeah, and it but you see, this is the time. This is the time that things are happening now. People are beginning to realize and feel that a lot of what they've been doing, and I'm speaking in terms of different types of organizations and don't need to list them, but they belong to different organizations, be they religious or social, political, and it's not solving their problems and meeting their needs.
Yep.
People are beginning to realize that knowing yourself destroys self-hatred.
Mm.
And people are beginning to realize that if I know myself, that's a starting point. It's not about the political organization. It's not about the spiritual system. If you know yourself, you can be better at whatever you do in whatever capacity that you're doing. And I think that right now, the pandemic gave a lot of people a chance to just sit down. You know, there's a passage in the Bible that I often quote, and it comes directly out of off the walls of ancient Kemet. You know, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And that passage is you talking to yourself, telling yourself, "Be still. And know that I am God. Know that I am the creator. Be still and know that you are the creator and you can bring into existence what you choose." And people are beginning to feel this now. And they're beginning to see that in sports it's called fourth quarter drills. Fourth quarter drills is like when you think that you've expended every bit of energy that you have. But then you reach deep inside yourself and you pull another source of energy up that you never knew that you had, called fourth quarter drills. And that's what this pandemic has done. That's what this time has done for us. It's made us all be still and recognize that you will create your own creation, just like the creator created you. You will create the conditions that you're living in. And you stop depending on other people for yourself.
And I agree. Yeah, and people are really, like you said, people are really starting to realize that that's the way, like you can see it happening. And more people are becoming aware, and I think that is so important, that people are becoming aware.
Yes. Little by little, step by step, I've been doing this I did my first presentation. My teacher, John Henry Clark, gave me permission to do my first presentation in November of 1986. And I've watched what has happened. There are times I did presentations, there was two people in the room. And one of them was the next speaker. So you know how many people I'm talking to.
Imagine.
and I've watched it grow. I've watched the Million Man March, give instructions to a lot of brothers. I've seen a change in brothers since the Million Man March. I've seen it. And over time, and then when Hidden Colors hit, that changed everything because I've always tried to stay in the background. Mm-hmm. I've always tried to stay in the background. I didn't want to be out front. I just wanted to do the work because I believe, like Dr. Clark used to always say, the more popular you become, the more power you lose. The more popular you become, the more power you lose because people are watching you. And there are things that you can't do that you can do when people ain't watching
you. Yep.
And so I've
true.
Always tried to stay in the background. You know, and now it's different. It's very different. You know, I'm in the car driving. I got my sunglasses on, my mask. I'm in a car. How you see
you.
Me?
Yep. Right.
How you see? And you didn't hear my voice. Oh, he did? Okay, your mother said he did hear my voice. That might be what it was. Because then he started honking me.
He probably caught the sound out of his, because that's the one thing that people, that's how even when you were in the Saga Continues, in the Wu-Tang album, that's how people knew, because your name, like it wasn't, it said message. I don't know if it said your name, but people recognize it from your voice.
No, it didn't say my
people
name. It just
voice.
Was message. And it was a brother that contacted me, and he congratulated me on being on the album. And then Heru was down the hallway, and I said, Heru, Wu-Tang got a new album out? And he said, yeah, they just brought it out. And I said, have you checked it out? He said, not all of it. I said, well, check it out. Tell me what you think, because someone just contacted me, told me that I'm on Wu-Tang's album. And then that's when I found out. I didn't know. I had no idea. I was in Los
that's
Angeles
amazing.
when I found out that Nehruvian Doom had me on their album. That's a group out of London. I had no idea.
And people recognize you because of your voice.
Yeah, that
that's
is
how people
true.
Know you. Like you have there's a very distinct voice that you have.
Wow. Well, you know something? It's a blessing. And I consider myself blessed. And to all of the people that have supported me through the years, I mean, I go back with folk. Sometimes they contact me. They say, yo, so good to see you on Instagram, brother. Pass the word. I was with you when you were with First World Alliance. I mean, they start quoting places
wow.
that I've been years
wow.
ago.
Caribbean so, Cultural Center, UAM.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, this is the work that we do. This is the work that we do.
And
so I'm just.
And you've said it many times, but it's important for people not to give up on what they're good at. Because
oh, yeah.
you never know when your time, and once your time comes, you can't back up once.
You got to be ready.
That's
right.
it.
Right. You got to be ready. What is it? Stay ready so you don't got to get ready?
Yep. And that's what your grandmother, my mother, used to always say when I was younger, you know, and I was trying to do something rather ambitious. You know, she'd say, Skip, the door not open now. But one day it will be. And if you just keep doing your work, when that door opens, you'll be qualified to walk in.
Yep.
And that's what I've always remembered. You don't give up. And, you know, one of my greatest prides that I have, one of the things that I'm most proud of is the fact that you all have watched my children and your mother through the years. You've watched my work. You've watched what I've done. I never gave up. And it took this long, basically 2011. Give or take, that's when Hidden Colors 1 came out.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at 10 years. But all those years that I was going places, doing things for the community, giving presentations, visiting churches, community centers, all these years.
Yep.
It's evidence that you don't give up. You keep on keeping on. That's what I mean when I say keep on keeping on. You don't give up. It may not come when you think it is. You know, when you're 30, 40, 50, like the ages that you all are at in your, you know, your 30s, you want things. You want whatever it is that you want it then. And you get discouraged. And some give up. Some change their vocation. Some change what they do. They say, well, this ain't working. Let me do this. But you just keep doing what you're doing. And by the sheer will of your force, you'll make it happen for yourself. Even if you don't realize. Because what got me in Hidden Colors 1 is all the things I did that was put up on YouTube. That's what Tariq saw. Everybody you see in Hidden Colors 1 are all the people that were out on the streets teaching this information. Francis Cresswell, Phil Valentine. You know, you can go to the first Hidden Colors 1. Look at the people that are in there, and those are the people that the great majority of the community came in contact with on the early days of the Internet. And that's an example that you don't give up. It came when it was supposed to come. That's it.
And that's amazing. And so, and I think also that goes to a lot of what we're going through even now, or what we're going to talk about today, is that sometimes we do things and we try to do things and we don't think it's working, but it's just in the works of the bigger picture and what it's supposed to be.
Hmm.
So it's like all of these things that we're going through, even, you know, what we're going to talk about today, sometimes we feel like it's not doing anything. Like the differences that we're trying to make, the laws that are trying to be passed, the things that are going on, we don't feel like it's making a difference. But I think for a lot of us it is. You know, you did what you did, Daddy, for so long. And I think that you knew that you were helping people, but I don't think you realized how much you were helping people. And it's been a long time since you've been doing the work that you're doing. When I look at those videos, I mean, those videos look like forever ago. You're such a spring chicken. Those videos. And you've been doing this since you were my age. Maybe younger, right?
Oh, yeah, younger.
Closer to Haru's age.
Yes, I was even on the street earlier than that. But basically, for what I'm doing, it's just around that time. I was doing it when I met your mother, but I wasn't doing it like this. So in terms of what I'm doing right now, I would say that if I put a date on it, it would be November 1986. That was the first time that I went out and did a presentation in public.
And could you even fathom the idea that you would be where you are now? I mean, I'm sure that you saw it in some part of your subconscious or even your main brain. But I don't know if you – did you think that you were going to be doing what you're doing now?
Yes, but I didn't think that I would be out in the public like this. See, what helped me the most, I think, Sasha and Kandike, is that I did what I did for the love of my people, not because I was trying to get popular. I was just doing the work. And – because I did it, and I did it so much, I got better at it. Because I was with children every day, 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days, sometimes seven, if I would go to church in the community and talk. There were times that I did this. There was no, let's say, compensation for it. I wasn't getting paid. Nothing was there. But I was getting experience in doing this. And sometimes if we're not getting what we want back, let's say in monetary rewards or whatever, we don't want to do it.
Yep.
And so we turn down a lot of things. And your mother used to always say, you know, like, you know, you really should be getting paid for this. And I would say, it's not about the money. You know, when I developed the John Henry Clark Institute for Youth, I sold a lot of my leather work that I, you know, because I carve on leather. I sold a lot of that to raise the seed money.
I remember that.
I did that to raise the seed money for the Institute for Youth. I wasn't even getting paid for it. It wasn't even my money. I was selling my things to make money for the school. So that my mind was never...
No, go ahead. I'll say it when you're done.
My mind was never on reward. It was the work that was my reward. And because of that, the Creator and the ancestors blessed me.
Yeah.
And it took until 2011 to get there, but I got there.
And, you know, like, I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, but we, like Mommy said those things because she, like, you saw the tunnel vision of your vision. But we saw how hard you worked. Mommy, your wife, your partner, the person that stays up late and does things and go and mails things, like, she saw how hard you worked. So, you know, and I think that, like what you said is so important. Because Mommy, you know, Mommy might have said, you should be getting paid, but that's because she saw how hard you worked from the outside. We want other people to appreciate, because a lot of times, you know, people think that what you're good at, the reward for what you're good at is money. The only way for people to other people to see it is for you to get paid, because we saw how hard you worked. But you saw it in a different way. Like, we wanted you to get paid because we knew how amazing you were. Like, if there's rappers that can get paid millions of dollars just for showing up, why wouldn't you get the same thing? And I think that's, you know, that's where that comes from. You know, it's never been about money for any of us. It's never been about money for Mommy or for you or for, like, it's never been about money. It's never, the message has never been about money. But we all just knew how great you are. So we want other people to appreciate you. And when we see other people feeling like they're appreciating people by paying them, it's like, okay, so however they're getting appreciated, that's the society that we live in. You did it for your vision. But we saw how great you were. Like, a lot of times we can't see how great. We know that we're here for a reason and we know what the vision is. But we just saw how there's no reason that these people should come out and get paid millions of dollars just to show up and you don't get compensated the same thing, because your message is much more significant than the majority of the messages that are getting paid a whole lot. Even people that do what you do, but maybe of a different race, you know, whatever, they get paid a whole lot of money because this society is run on money. They can say the same thing that you're saying, but because they're white or because whatever the thing is, they get paid more because of the society that we live in. And it's like, it's not about money, but it's about money. Like, people get appreciated, and when you get appreciated, you get a raise. When you get appreciated, you get a bonus. So it feels like it's about money, but you just saw it differently, and we just wanted you to get appreciated the way that other people are getting appreciated. But it's never been about money.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But we're reminded we got to get back on topic. We always do that.
Yeah.
We got some very heavy topics.
It's been almost a half. All right.
Keith is keeping
us on topic. So, we have two topics.
I'm going to play a song.
Super.
I'm
going to
play a song. Sorry. I was going to say I'm going to play a song and then we'll talk about the topic. We need to regroup and talk about the topic, because we'll be on here till 10 o'clock and not talk about it. So I'll play the song and then we'll come back and we'll introduce the topic at hand. See, I'm good at cutting people off. I apologize. I need to cut you off. I'm sorry. Would you like to continue? I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead. Play the song.
Okay. Sorry. All right. We'll be right back.
I've been walking with my face turned to the sun. Weight on my shoulders.
can for my people. While the clouds roll back and the stars fill the night, that's when I'm gonna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home, far across the river. Can you hear freedom calling, calling me to answer? Gonna keep on keeping on, I can feel it.
Is we as adults did not stand strong and on our square to bring our young people through this process. I know I was the young person that had to fend for himself on the streets of New York. I know what happened with our young people. I say, look, I ain't mad at you. No matter what I hear, I know that you are moving through a process because they are attempting to destroy the community. So they're using you. They are buying you out. But we as adults got to buy them back. I'm ready to compete with anybody for our young people's minds. And what we have to do is change the paradigm of how we're interacting with them. deal with them from a heartfelt place so that they can understand. You see, because whether you realize it or not, it's you they're shooting in the streets. You young brothers, they're the ones that are being shot. And so with this entertainment and with this music, maybe I don't like what I hear. Maybe I don't like some of the words that I hear. Maybe I don't like the direction. But I think they're doing a pretty good job considering that we as men, the adult men, did not cover them when we should have covered them. And protected them when we should have protected them. And brought them under. So when we see an artist acting in a most inappropriate way, well, where is the father in this? Where is that male mentor that can be there? We as black men must take on the responsibility. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told Malcolm, is that a nation is only as strong as its weakest family. And we have got to create nations. We have to create relationships between the African man and the African woman that creates a viable nation.
Perfect. The way
wow.
One song, and then that song with Stand Up and Take My People With Me, and then your message, perfectly named, it's just perfect.
Wow. Oh, boy, I appreciate that. That was a good combo that time. Good music.
That was great. So
no
now
doubt.
You guys
no
can
doubt.
Introduce. Candace, go ahead and introduce the topic.
Oh, I mean, okay. So the Tulsa 1921, the Black
Black Wall Street,
Black
Tulsa,
Wall
Tulsa,
Street,
the
massacre.
Tulsa,
yeah, that
Tulsa,
I mean, I can't believe it's 100 years, like since it's happened. And just to understand the concept behind it and just, you know, talk about it at hand. So I'm going to let Daddy explain it further, and then we can get into discussion about it. Because I was just like, oh, my God. Like, it's just hearing about it again and just fully understanding it, absorbing it, and understanding who we are as a people to make, to for others to do what they did 100 years ago and they
yeah.
can continue to
right.
do to this day.
Right.
So, Daddy, tell us the history behind it.
Well, one thing that I think is very important to realize is that I was teaching Tulsa in 1991. I had
wow.
come in contact with an organization because I was multicultural education. I was a director. I received a lot of invitations, information as it related to culture. This organization had done at this time it was video cassette. They had done a video cassette on Black Wall Street, and they had done an adult book that explained it and a children's storybook on what happened.
Mm. Wow.
And let's not move so far that we don't see this in real time.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma is the same thing that happened in the Capitol building on January 6th. Now, of course, it's varying.
Mm.
Far more people die in Tulsa than in the Capitol attack. I'm speaking about what happened. I'm talking about the raw attack on the basis of hate. Because
mm-hmm.
Tulsa...
From inferiority.
Sasha, you'll appreciate this because, you know, Margaret Wade Lewis was from Oklahoma.
Yes.
And
we had
a conversation.
We started talking about that.
Huh?
We started talking about that the other day. Yesterday.
Yeah. She was from Tulsa. And, you know, I had told her about, as a side note, towards the end of the school year. And she said, well, you know, I grew up not far from there.
Hmm.
She brought in a book. What's important for us to understand is this. And this is why I respect and love our people so much. Because they're always talking about being on welfare and black people got to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and they're always looking
mm-hmm.
for something for free.
Mm-hmm.
But what Tulsa, Oklahoma represents, there were 12 other cities around Tulsa that was just like Black Wall Street. I had no idea. She was from one of the cities. This is why she was so prolific in what she did.
Right.
She came from a family of accomplishment. And it's not just in Oklahoma. I posted something up the other day on my site where I showed there have been over, like, I don't want to give a number and exaggerate, but let's just say there's a lot of, there was a black city in Long Island, New York.
Wow. Mm.
And the same thing happened to them all.
Wow.
Peoples of European descent came in and stole from them.
Mm.
And let me tell you something else that's important that they're talking in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I experienced this in Indiana, Indianapolis in particular. What the European American community did when they saw black businesses, Indianapolis was one of the cities that had a phenomenal black community of accomplishment. And what they did was they started to build these superhighways. And what they did when they built the city, the superhighways, is they cut in the middle of the black communities in order to separate them from each other. And what those superhighways did, and they talked about it in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They did the same thing there. They did the same thing in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Places I've gone, the superhighways cut in the middle of the black community and go around the European community so they can stay intact. And we can't, if we were living in a house and there was a restaurant, a black-owned restaurant across the street, when they came in and built the superhighway, we couldn't go to the restaurant anymore because that superhighway cut right in the middle of the street that we would
have crossed
to get to the restaurant.
But think about why they did that and think about the psychological effects that that's had and what that does to the people, because it's like, come on, like how petty, you want to talk about petty? How petty is that you feel the need to try to dim somebody else's star so yours can shine brighter, when in reality that is the least of what happened?
Listen.
When in reality their light shines because of our sun. So they're like the moon.
Malcolm
they only shine
X's
because
mother,
we shine.
Malcolm X's mother, under her conditions that she eventually had to go to the Kalamazoo Mental Health Hospital, was because a judge in the town wanted her house. And so he put exorbitant pressure on her until she was put in the hospital, and then guess what? He took her house.
That's crazy.
Okay? But you have to go deep inside Tulsa. Tulsa is a phenomenal example of what has happened multiple times. I have a map that will
and
show
still happening.
Rosewood. Rosewood was another one. There have been many
communities
of wealth that the European community has come in and stolen from them. They drop bombs. Listen, Gap Band got the song. The Gap Band represents Oklahoma. Greenwood, Archer, and I think it's Prince. I'm not sure what the P. I know what the P stands for, but it escapes me right now. But the Gap Band, G-A-P, they were from Oklahoma. They were from Tulsa. That song represented what they did. Remember in the song, they dropped a bomb on me? That's what that means.
Oh, wow.
It's I know it's Greenwood, Archer, and then there's a P. That's why they call the Gap Band. Prince or something like that. But the P stands for something else. But you see, the point that I'm trying to make, family, is this.
Pine.
Don't let
Pine. Greenwood, Archer, and Pine.
Pine. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. That's it.
You're welcome. Anytime. Anytime.
Thank you. That, hey, that's the beauty of the internet, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But, but what's so important about all of this that I think is just so important is make no mistake about it, when African people, going back to Juneteenth Day that we're going to celebrate at the end of this month, when African American people who had previously been enslaved, they started to go to college. They began to teach themselves. They built schools. The public school system is built on what black people developed to educate their own communities. New York City copied the Freedmen's Bureau educational program in collective fund to have a public school system. We don't know how great we are, and we don't understand how inferior European people are. We don't understand it. We really don't. We don't understand how great. We were going around campuses in the United States. We spoke Greek and Latin better than the major universities. We spoke multiple languages. But then what did they do? They did something similar to Black Wall Street, Jim Crow. They destroyed Reconstruction. Black folk were doing their thing. 14% of the community by 1870, 14% of the previously enslaved Africans were literate, totally literate, with a 12th grade reading literacy. Okay? Now, by 1900, documents tell us that 41% of the African-American community was literate. You know what's wrong with that? That's higher than it is today.
Wow.
That is higher. Wow. We were more literate in 1900 as a people than we are right now. Black Wall Street, because of my interest in Black Wall Street throughout the years that I studied, because like I told you, they sent me, well, I purchased it, a video of Black Wall Street with a children's book. Because of my understanding of who we, this is what I'm trying to tell our people. You are greater than you could ever imagine. Tenacity of those individuals in Tulsa, Oklahoma, after being murdered. They burnt down their banks. There were over 300 and something black businesses. Successful black businesses that the low-life European jealous people came in and destroyed. But they
tried
still
their best.
Got their knee on our neck.
Literally.
They're still doing it. Every time we try to do something, they attack us.
Simone Biles. But it's what Simone Biles is going through right now. Everything that she does, they cannot compete with her. So they will not allow her to be great because they can't compete with her. That is, like, that story is just one of the craziest. It's like she's Black Wall Street as a human.
Naomi Osaka.
Great. Right, exactly.
Naomi Osaka is a tennis player. She is not a presenter. And she's trying to explain to people that her personality is not one for talking. That there are people. Look, the London Times did a survey of the 10 things that people are most frightened of. Number 3 was death. Number 1 was public speaking.
Wow.
People are definitely afraid of public speaking.
Just fact. And the thing is that nothing that she does needs her to talk. She is a performer.
Right.
She's doing her sport. Like, she's not a speaker.
Right.
I know I cut you off, but it's just horrible because they agitate you. It's not even like they're doing it for a good reason. They interview you on purpose to either make you upset, trip you up, make you feel inferior, make you feel like you're not as good as you actually are. What they're doing is not uplifting. What they're doing is trying to bring you down. And the fact that they can't bring you down because you're not going to talk, they have a big problem with it. And then they hit her with thousands of dollars. I think it was like $10,000 fine.
It was 15.
And that's just crazy. But, it's just crazy that they're allowed to do that.
But just imagine this. Your idol that you regard so highly, that you've measured your life by, you now have an opportunity to play against her. And you beat her. And you win over Serena Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're going off the court, the people are booing you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wanted
Serena. She was like, what, 19?
Somewhere around there. But they didn't boo her because they wanted Serena to win. Because they're so busy trying to say that Serena is a man. Between Serena and Michelle Obama, who they keep trying to make it seem like that they're men. But you see, the thing that we always have to look at is that they didn't boo her because they like Serena. They didn't give her trouble and heartache because they wanted Serena to win. They wanted to cause trouble between the two greatest tennis players in the world.
Yep.
And once they got the psychology of our sister Naomi, and they knew that she was under pressure when she did press conferences, they drilled into her. That is another form of Black Wall Street. That's another form of George Floyd. We can connect all of these pieces together, family. It's all related. And we've got to understand that they see how great we are. Everything that they're doing now, as it relates to voting, as it relates to the advancement of melanated people, they're doing it for the same reason they burnt down Black Wall Street. They see black success, and now it's time to cheat. They lie. Mm. They steal.
That's sad.
And they tolerate those that do because they know their time is up. And they're saying, if I can't have it, nobody can have it. So we'll burn this sucker down.
And that's what that man said in Race War. What was his name? What was that guy's name?
Richard Spencer,
yep.
He said it's not about morality. Morality is weakness.
Mm.
It's about winning at all costs. If I have to wait for you to go to sleep and bust you upside your head when you're asleep because I know if I did it while I was awake, you'd beat me. If I have to wait for you to turn your back and cold cop you, because I know if I went face-to-face with you, I wouldn't win. Then it ain't about morality. I'll go behind your back.
Mm.
I'll come at you at nighttime. I'll fly under the radar. I'll do whatever I have to do to get you. And it has nothing to do with honor and integrity, because I can't win no more. Simone Biles, she owns gymnastics. And that's this... Family, this is just the beginning of what's to come. We've taken this country. I know there's people who want reparations, and I support you wholeheartedly. I want America. Don't give me the crumbs. I want to own the block where my bakery is that baked the cake. You eat the crumbs.
Yep.
I want the block.
Yep.
I want America. We built it. I want it. And we're going to get it. It may take a time. Maybe not my generation. But one of these generations is going to take it. Family, we have to understand how great we really are and what it takes to be who we are. And you of all know what I believed in when we were in the house. Sasha, you know that I used to give, and Kandake and Heru, I used to give y'all work to do. I used to get those, and you did 2 pages a day. And at the end of the week, you knew where to put it on the table in the folder. I would check it out, and then we would get our allowances.
Yep.
But Sasha, when I saw you were a prolific writer, I stopped giving you the work because I saw you found yourself. Kandake, when you got into the honors class in 7th grade, I stopped giving you work. because I knew you now had a larger responsibility. Mm-hmm. When Heru was writing rap and making clothes and doing all he did, I stopped giving him work. All I wanted you to do was to have a work ethic and to know that nothing comes free. That's what I was trying to get to. We don't understand how great we are. And when they make us think we're lazy and stupid, we start believing being stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But when you understand mm-hmm. how great you are, that there is nothing you can't do, and that the mere look at you frightens them. They don't hate you. They're afraid of you. Fear is what they're dealing with. And out of fear comes hate. And worse than that, they hate to love you, and they love to hate you.
Hmm.
That's a psychopathic behavior.
That's sad.
That's reality. And black folk, we better wake up. And we better get ourselves together because these folk are serious. They know their time is up.
Wake up,
100 years ago, they could get away with it.
Sleeping in bed.
mm-hmm. That's right. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking mm-hmm. ahead. Wake up, mm-hmm. everybody. This is where we are right now. You can see it. A bunch of incompetent, sterile, intellectually impotent people.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at them right now. They're liars right in front of us. They're lying. They're cheating. They're going to take away the vote. You talk about you ain't got no honor, no morality. But remember, it's not about honor and morality. It's about winning.
We just have to learn what their game is, but play our own and know how to move around it.
Once you know who you really and truly are as an individual and how divinely blessed you have been and are, you will make decisions in the best interest of yourself, your mm-hmm. family. William Leo Hansberry, the great architect of the Black Studies program, said, if Negroes, that was the word at the time, if Negroes really knew what they had done in history and who they are in the present, they wouldn't act like they're acting. And I believe that. If we knew who we were, really knew who we were and what our capacity is, everywhere around the world, they copy African-American style, music, art. They copy us. And they do it mediocre, but they end up making more money than us. Best singer is our mediocre. Their best.
Yep.
Give me their
yep.
best, and I'll give you Regina Bell and Patti LaBelle. Give me your best. I'll give you Gladys Knight.
Yep.
I'll give you Nina Simone. You can give me your opera singer, and I'll give you Leontine Price. Give me your greatest violinist, and I'll give you Chevalier Saint-Georges. Bring me your
Ooh.
Best.
Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo.
Bring me your best, and I'll show you how mediocre you really are. We are a
but
great
we,
people who are in a sleepless
and
slumber.
And we have to... Wow.
We must do it. We got to wake up. And we got
to have
do
to believe
ourselves.
It.
Well, we got
to
know it.
We have to believe it instead of knowing. But instead of just, but yes, we have to know it and then believe it. Because if we don't, we can't believe it if we don't know it. I mean, that's like, you know, I'm going to, I don't want to interrupt you, but that's something else that I wanted to talk about today, that we wanted to talk about, was yesterday. Yesterday was Memorial Day. Our country, this country, has built it on a certain thing, but Memorial Day was created by us after the Civil War. Can you talk a little bit about that, Daddy? About the creation of Memorial Day?
That was a, in fact, we called it Decoration Day. That was how we called it. And basically, Decoration Day was the day that we held up our soldiers and our warriors African Americans that had fought in the Civil War to forever remember what they had contributed to us. That's what Memorial Day is. It came from African Americans. There is nothing. Well, I don't want to speak in absolutes, but peoples of European descent have only attached themselves to everything we've done, stolen it, just like they're doing in our neighborhoods. It's intellectual regentrification.
Stolen legacy.
Just like they... Say again.
I said stolen legacy.
That's it. But do we know our legacy? Do we know what they stole? Think for us as a people, I love us. I really do. And I admire us because it was that dynamic intelligence that built the pyramids, the love that we had for people that allowed us to allow foreigners to come into our country. We didn't know what they were going to do. They were coming smiling and all the rest of that sort of stuff. Acting like they were our friends, and the whole time they were plotting to destroy us and steal. The only reason why they're not in Africa is they started dying of skin cancer. That's why they're not in the Caribbean anymore. They started dying of skin cancer. And the only places that they do live in Africa is in South Africa, where it's more of a temperate climate. When you get down south, Wall Street represents what we did at our finest hour, if given the opportunity. And by the way, there was deep racism the whole time we were doing it.
Right.
Building our businesses, our cleaners, our restaurants, our movie houses, our banks. And they were watching, jealous, because they didn't have what we had. They were jealous. And the reason why we built Black Wall Street was because they segregated us from what they had. So we could not. And so we built ours, and then what they did is they destroyed ours and then told us, you still can't come to ours. We didn't destroy yours because we wanted your business. We destroyed yours because we didn't want you to have anything. Because we know that you're going to Simone Biles.
Crazy.
We know that if you get into this, you will become just CEOs of the country.
Or you'll realize your potential and you realize just how great you actually are.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. And then they can't control you anymore.
Well, they can. I've been around our children for so long. You know, my own children, of course, you and Sasha Kandike and Haru, but I've also been around children in the Board of Ed and college. And I see such genius. When I look at Caress, and I'm listening to that young brother talk. There is such a genius in his in the thought process.
Oh, my goodness.
That neuromelanin that is flowing, that colostrum oil, that christic oil that runs
natural.
Through his central nervous system. It just becomes part of life. They don't have that. And those that have it would never hurt another person. Because no matter what your culture is, if you are divinely touched by the inner strength of dignity and morality, you would never do to another human being. You would not treat another human. I have never met an intelligent racist in my life.
Exactly.
I've met a devious, conniving.
Manipulative. Right.
Manipulative, but I've never met an intelligent, because moral exaltation precedes intellectual illumination.
Wow, you need to make that in a spray. Do you have that written down? You got to write. Could you text that to me? Could you say that again?
Yeah.
Say it again.
Moral but let me tell you who it is. This is Egypt. Kemet. Moral exaltation is Ma'at. Intellectual illumination is Tehuti. So what I'm basically saying is that you can be as intelligent as you want to be, but if you're not moral, you're not intelligent.
Wow.
It's something else. You might be able to learn things. You might be great at math and science, but you're not intelligent.
Wow.
Because you haven't illumined your intelligence. And the only way you can illumine your intelligence is to exalt your morality.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee.
Moral exaltation precedes intellectual illumination. Before you are indoctrinated into the temple of wisdom, you must be moral. You must have integrity.
Wow.
You must carry yourself with dignity and respect. You respect nature. You don't hurt the animals. You don't burn down trees.
Wow.
You don't hurt each other. You must do that before you can be considered illumined, because that's what the Illuminati is. You know, I'm seeing this thing on Jay-Z. And I watched this brother really come down on Jay-Z, telling him that he was a devil worshiper and that he was a – that was the most ignorant presentation I heard. Your mother was the one that shared it. She said, what do you think about this? What that brother said – oh, you saw it, so you know what I'm talking about. That symbol that Jay-Z is showing you when he does that with his hands, that is the symbol – of the inverted pyramid, which is the symbol of as above, so below. The pyramid that the point is on top is talking about the heaven. The pyramid that is facing down is the earth. What that is saying is as above, so below. As it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. And devil worship, this got nothing whatsoever to do. Now, the satanic cult stole the legacy of Kemet. And now we don't even know it's our legacy, and we are now saying that Anton, whatever his name is, the one that started devil worshiping, that he, and then they talk about witches. That's what Europeans started calling black women, who were the diviners, who were, the whole idea of fortune-telling? Well, that came from Africa. But it wasn't – that was more a medical diagnosis than some type of psychic phenomenon. But when Europeans got it, they never understood it, and they still don't understand. When I'm listening to us buy into their big lie, we don't even have sense enough to know our own history. And then he's going to talk about Jesus. Okay, don't get me started now, so I'm going to stop.
We're just getting started. We're going to have to make this,
leave
we're gonna
it
have to make this a whole show. We're going to have to,
we're
going to make this a whole show.
Yeah, we're going to come back. Because today's show is supposed to be about Black Wall Street, right?
Black Wall Street and Memorial Day.
And more. Hey, and Labor Day. Who been laboring in America for 402 years for free? Or at least half the price.
The
Labor Day
the
is
nerve.
Our day. Labor Day is our day. And they took it.
Mm.
All of them are our days.
Mm.
The only thing that Europeans invented was the patent office and the Xerox machine.
And that's just
because they stole everybody's idea and put their name on it.
Listen, when you said that in Hidden Colors, when we were in the audience, the audience went crazy. The audience went crazy. I remember that day like it was yesterday. The eruption and the excitement and the amazement that statement. And I feel like did it end the movie?
No.
When you said that?
No, it was in the Yeah. But it came at a time when it was a clapback. You know, it was more than just a statement. It seemed like it was put in there to smack at them.
And that's what happened. That is what happened I remember how crazy the audience went when you said that. I'll never forget that day.
But you
Everybody
know, family, it goes back to this. It goes back to this. Talk about them, and we can have fun. And I understand that. We get a little bit of satisfaction out of just kind of ribbing them or something like that. But you know, family, what it comes down to is we must get ourselves together. We must take our priorities and what we want out of life, and we have to put it together. and we have to go after what we want and will it to happen. See, like I've said before, there was no word for magic in Egypt. They had a word they call heka. Heka, which means will. You will something to happen. Earlier about the work that I'm doing now, where I am now, that's heka. It would seem like it's a miracle or magic, but it's not. I willed it to happen. And it's here. It didn't come in my time. It didn't come in my time. It came in divine time. And that's what's important. It may not happen when you want it, but if you just keep on keeping on, it will happen. I know it will happen. I'm living testimony. I know. And this is what we have to do. We have to do something. And I know they owe us everything. But I don't come at them like you owe. I'm not going to take power from them. Because the power you have in your hands is not the kind of power I want. I got the power.
That's true. That is true.
We keep saying, I'm going to take power back. No, don't. You don't want to take that power back. They don't have your moral power. The kind of power you want is something that dwells within you right now. Let it come forward. Don't try to take it from them. That stuff they have is rancid. You don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't power, abuse.
Mm.
That's physical, spiritual, mental, and soulful rape. And the cornerstone to rape is power.
Damn.
I'm sorry, fam. I just got to go that way when
no,
we get here.
No, don't be sorry. That is powerful.
No, but I'm talking to my daughters, so I want to be careful how I talk. I'm talking to my daughter.
No. but we understand where you're coming from. Like it may be a sensitive word, but it is important to understand that it's all psychological. People that have gone through certain things. Yeah, it's not because somebody wanted, you know, whatever it, the activity itself. It's because they wanted power over somebody else. That's it. That is unfortunately
because,
what it is.
Because at the base of their psychology, they are powerless.
That's rough.
And
that's
a great
rough.
Majority of those men are incels.
That's rough.
And I've often said their greatest problem that they have, with everything else they do, the European male's greatest problem is he doesn't respect his mother.
Mm.
He has inferiorized the female. And when you inferiorize a female, you inferiorize every woman in your family. You can start with your grandmama, then go back to your grandma and great-grandma, and then you can go to your daughters, your wife, and everyone else. And that's the cornerstone to their problem. They do not respect the womb from whence they came. You are doomed when you don't know the womb.
What? This is just what?
And if they don't respect their own, what makes us think they're going to respect us? Why do we even want their respect? We don't.
Right.
They don't matter to us. We
they
have
should
to,
not.
Yeah, they shouldn't. Their opinion should not matter how successful you are, because if you knew how successful you actually are by them telling you, that would build you up. And that's the last thing that they want you to do, because just like a lot of what society is today, they're banking on the fact that you don't know who you are. You'll never amount to what you're supposed to be. And you'll keep on depending on them and being and working for them to build them up. That's what you see a lot of these organizations. The only reason that these organizations are successful, and I'm talking about big organizations, hospitals, medical field, any organization you can think of, the only reason that they're successful is because the people that work for them make them look good and make them successful. Now, if you were to channel our success to ourselves, what would that? How would that lead them? How would they be able to survive if we're not making them look good and we're not creating these ideas, yep. and we're not doing what we're doing to elude and to just be who we are. You know, it's just a natural yep. phenomenon. Everything that we do, they want to do. They try to do, but they're not successful in it. And we don't even realize how beautiful we are, and not just the physical beautiful, but inside out, how giving we are, how you know, accepting we are. And we have to realize that we have to be kind to, first and foremost, ourselves. Because a lot of times the reason that people are the way that they are is because they don't feel good with themselves. When they look in the mirror, mm-hmm. they hate themselves. And when you hate yourselves, what are you going to do? You're going to exude hate to others. Well, we don't understand yep. the psychology behind a lot of things. And we have to realize that, first and foremost, nobody else dictates how we are. It's like when you're driving. A person can honk all they want, but you're in control of that vehicle. You are the one making mm-hmm. that decision. They can't get out their car, get in your car, drive it for you. You are in control. You are in control of your life. You are in control of yourself. Gather that control. Recognize that control. And then start to recognize the psychological games that people play with you on a day-to-day basis to mm-hmm. make sure that you don't get to the potential. And guess what? That's their job. Daddy, you say that all the time. A hater, yep. their job, their main job is to hate and to make sure that you are not successful. And what your job is to ensure that you are successful.
That's right.
Yep.
And we just have to realize the psychological behind all of it, and you start to look at things differently, because there's times mm-hmm. that I'm like, there's people that get on my nerves, and I'm like, you know what, they get on my nerves because they're not happy. Misery loves company.
Yep.
And once you start to recognize that it's nothing that you're doing, it's nothing that you have control over, it's nothing, it has nothing to do with you, it's more so them, when you start to recognize that it's not you, it takes the blame off of you, and you start to say, why are they even getting under my, why are they even, you know, in my realm? Why do they even, why are they making me upset? If they can't make me happy, they can't make me sad. So why am I giving them control over my vehicle? And my vehicle meaning my body, my mind, my soul. Why am I giving them control? They ain't worth it.
That's it. That's exactly it. They live to get inside you. To upset you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They like mosquitoes.
And you ain't getting
in there. I was thinking the exact same thing about the mosquitoes. Just now, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Their main
exactly
job, a mosquito's
about.
Main job is to live off. It's a bloodsucker.
Yep.
A parasite. Anything that is a parasite lives off of you, lives off of your life, lives off of your blood, lives off of your success, lives off of who you are. They are only in existence because of you. When you start to recognize these bloodsuckers, they're only in existence because of you. You are successful. You are amazing. Like, I'm about to sound like DJ Khaled. Right now, you are great. You are amazing. You are number one. You have to remember that. And sometimes we lose sight of that because we allow the psychological game to win. And, you know, and anybody can fall victim to it, because there's often times I'm like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I even upset? Why did I even let them get under my skin? Why did I even give
mm-hmm.
them the power over my vessel? When they don't even deserve it,
yep.
they need to get power over their lives. That's why they're so miserable. Take control of your vessel. Don't let nobody else have it, because they don't deserve it.
I say own your footprint.
That's right.
Own your footprint. Everywhere that you walk, own it.
Mm-hmm.
Own your
mm-hmm.
space.
Wow.
And know that
wow.
for the moment you're in that space, the Creator gave you that space to walk in.
That's right.
Wow.
Own your footprints. Be proud of the walk that your journey in life.
Mm-hmm.
Own
you are the
your
only
footprint.
Person. You're the only person that can walk that walk. There's nobody, no matter how carbon copy they try to make you to look like you, to sound like you, to be you, quote unquote, to be you. They can never be you, ever.
Ever.
Never.
And they will always
Never
you are the only
you.
Person.
And they will always need you.
They
yep.
will always
and,
need
you
know, to try to be you.
Mm-hmm. And that goes for each and every one of us also. We should not want to be what other people are. We try to copy other people.
Mm-hmm.
Even we should not want to be, even an African-American should not want to be what another African-American is. Own
mm-hmm.
your footprint.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Your footprint. You may be doing
be
the same
you.
Thing, but you ain't doing it like other people. You
exactly.
do you.
And
be you.
And but that's the thing. Like, once you start to be who you are, love yourself, you'll start to wonder why you even looked at what other people are doing. Why is social media so successful? These people that are talentless are taking our money. How does that make sense? Make it make sense, Jesus. Make it make sense. These people have no talent in the world. We bust our butts every day to be who we are, to be successful, to get these degrees, to get these accomplishments, to then try to be like somebody that's not less than us, but somebody that is not us. And
right.
genuineness, people understand genuineness. People see genuineness. Just be who you are and be unapologetic about it, because you are who you are, and that's it. That's it, period.
That's a punto.
Full
that's
stop.
It.
Full stop.
No, punto. P-U-N-T-O. Because what I heard you say is a little bit different.
We got to end it with a T. Period.
Yeah. P-U-N-T-O.
That's right.
But, you know, with all that we've experienced from Juneteenth to Memorial Day, to George Floyd, to the pandemic, this has all given us a chance just to reflect and to think.
Mm-hmm.
And to come forward in 2021 deciding that we're going to build back better.
Mm-hmm.
Build back better. Don't build back. Build back better. Take it to the next level.
BBB.
That's it. Build back better.
Hit them with the BBB.
That's it. That is it.
Your spirit is untouchable.
It.
Understand. Don't let nobody
that
touch that spirit.
That's it.
That is it. Walk in your footprint. That's what it is.
It's up to us. If it is to be, it's up to me. That should be our motto.
Mm-hmm.
If it is to be, it's up to me.
That's right.
Own your footprint.
And that's how we're going to end the night. Own your footprint.
That's right.
All right. Here we go. I like that.
And this was an amazing, I think this was one of the best ones. I mean, every week is good, but this was up there.
Let me tell you,
yeah.
the value of our discussions like this will come in the future. Yeah, we're enjoying this, and I know I'm enjoying this, but the value of it is when you're able to look back years from now and listen to these conversations and then be able to relate it to the times that you're living in.
Mm-hmm. And it's still, hopefully it's not, but it still will be relevant to the times that we'll be living in 20, 30, 40 years from now.
Wherever we are 40 years from now, it's going to be built on this foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is
and
out
the decisions
of,
that we make
is,
today.
That's it. What you do today, what you know about yesterday is what allows you to do today. And what
mm-hmm.
you do today determines what you're going to do tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is connected. It's a beautiful time to be alive, family.
That's right.
There we go.
And your generation has got such an opportunity. And I know it looks chaotic. You know, when I've been on shows with some of the young brothers and sisters who have asked me to come on to their site, their podcasts, and talk, the one thing I want the younger generation to know is we will get through this.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get through this. We've done it before. Can you imagine what they thought in Black Wall Street?
I know.
Do you know what they must have thought of 100 years ago, June 1st, 1921? The hopelessness that some of them may have felt. The murder. More people died in Black Wall Street, percentage-wise, than died in some wars.
And nothing ever came of the people that did it.
They hid it. They hid it. When I hear people say that they lived there and just found out about it, that's kind of hard, because I knew about this in 92. Like I told you, I bought things about this. It's hard. I shouldn't say it's hard, because people just wanted to blanket out of their mind. It's like one of those bad experiences. Conde K, I know you have so many clients that have blocked things out because it's so painful to relive or to think. So they block it out. They put it in a little box and put it in the back of their consciousness. And they never want to revisit it because it brings back the same pain. But now it's out there. Now it's out there for us all to see.
And learn from.
And
grow.
And what's interesting, again, is I tell people, you know, leave yourself open to everyone that can do something for you, because you never know. Because the reason why this is so popular now is for one reason and one reason only, and that is the former president. When he was going to, when he was going to speak in Tulsa on Juneteenth Day. And what he did was brought attention to Tulsa and to Juneteenth at the same time. He made it popular. Even he said, I bet you'll remember Juneteenth from now on because of me. And as horrible as it may have been in terms of how it was done, it is true. I've never seen so much attention put on Juneteenth Day and on Black Wall Street since he did what he was going to do. And it was at that Tulsa. It was at that Tulsa rally that Herman Cain took off his mask and said it was a hoax. And within 2 months, he was dead of COVID. I pray to our Creator and ancestors bless everybody. I believe he and all others are in a better place. But we can't forget. We must not forget. It is not my place to forgive. People say, can you forgive and forget white people? Well, it's not my place to forgive them. That's for the Creator. I'm not in a position to forgive, but I am in a position never to forget. But don't ask me if I forgive you. That's not my job. You have to talk to the Creator for that. You have to talk to my ancestors that you murdered for that, the ones that you raped and abused. Stole their land. You have to ask them for forgiveness. But what? Don't ask me to forget. I will never forget what you did. So this has been a great conversation, family.
Well,
absolutely.
On that note, in that order.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see again what happens. What happens 2 weeks from now? Who knows what we're talking about?
A lot.
Who knows
lot.
Where we'll be?
That's right.
But one thing we
happy
know.
Pride Month. It's
all right.
It's the beginning of Pride. I'm reminded because I was passing by UGG, and I was like, oh, this is very festive.
Everything. You know, and I know where they were going to end it. But I would just like to also say that was also created by a black individual. The whole concept of Pride was initiated, as usual, by a black person. And it was a black individual that considered themselves to be a trans woman named Marsha P. Johnson. And the reason why all these people have this whole entire fancy month, I say these people, my people, the reason why we have this whole Pride Month is because of a black person. So I just want to add that to your saying of Happy Pride Month, it was also created by someone that was black.
And Stonewall, the reason why the police attacked Stonewall was because that was one of the few clubs in the village that allowed black people in. When they attacked Stonewall,
wow.
they were attacking black.
Wow.
They were attacking black gay
wow.
men.
Mm. Yeah,
so
definitely.
If, in fact, the LGBT community considers Stonewall to be a point of departure for their rise, is black people again.
Yep.
And these are just historical facts that we all need to understand and be able to move forward.
Yep.
And also, since we're playing music, June is also Black Music Month.
Mm. Right. Yep.
So we have a lot
yep.
to celebrate.
Yep.
The success.
Let's
and amazingness.
Celebrate our excellence.
That's right.
That is it.
Celebrate
and
our
future.
Excellence.
Mm-hmm. Understand our past so we can understand our current and appreciate our future.
That's it.
There we go. All right.
That is it, family. All right. See you in 2 weeks.
Two
All
weeks.
Praises.
See you in 2 weeks.
Inshallah.
Absolutely.
All right.
Inshallah. Masalama.
Hotep and all that good stuff. I muted us too fast. My apologies.
That's okay. I was just waiting for that music.
Sorry, I'm about to. I meant to press the other button. All right. Hotep and we'll see you all in 2 weeks.
Peace, family.
Mark, this 250,000 right here. I need my homeboy home ASAP.
Nipsey, this case carries life.
So,
I'm going to need a mil and a half on this one.
Damn. And you going to guarantee coming home?
You know me for a long time. Have I ever let you down?
All right.
Way. Stop to control the thing. Falling the stolen away. Like you powder my trend, I make you my protege. Crossing that soldier race, niggas don't know them days. Take you in back of the building, make you expose your rage. Take you across the tracks, make you explode the face. Now you official now, but you got a soul to save. I just been cooking that note, I'm about to drop in the fuel. Think if I call it the great, the people gon' call it the truth. I ain't really trip on the credit, I just paid all of my dues. I just respected the game, got my name all in the news. Trippin' on all of my moves, quote me on this, got a lot more to prove. Remember I came in this bitch, fresh out the county with nothing to lose.
Don't listen to nothing, no. Wanna count on you, but I don't do this shit for nothing. No, 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 not at all. You, my money real.
I never left. Stand for some shit that you never rep. Passing through stages and life through the ups and the downs like it's all just another test. Live by the rules like a fucking ref. I got respect in 100 sets. Too many tags need another test. Glad no games if it wasn't chess. Come from that cloth that you couldn't stretch. Come from that circle you couldn't test. Heavily pressured and under stress. Even though niggas ain't sure we was a mess. Honest as hell playing to the left. Judge a young nigga by their chest. That's just no action, what they expect. Only thing we knew for sure is the bang is set. Fuck living basic, I'm taking risks. Fuck what they saying, I'm saying this. Don't waste no time, it don't make you rich. It don't mean nothing, so fuck them, let's make a grip. Double up, triple up, make assists. Ballin' so hard you can play a bitch. Lead to the lake if they wanna fish. Make sure them niggas around you stick to the script. This should be written in stone. You should come visit my zone. Don't take my word, double check all of my flows. Ask them how hustle got on, but fuck what you heard. This for who walked down that road. Sold everything but they stole. Straight off the curb. Real niggas rich as you nerds. Addressing whom and make it so.
Don't do this for nothing. Nah. When I count on you, well, I don't do this shit for nothing.
Money, nigga.
Six, oh,
huh.